Good evening, everybody. Monday night, 9 o'clock. This evening's topic, Shir Malacha, that I'd like to discuss is the Malacha of Lush. Lush literally means to knead. Typically, kneading takes place when you put together flour and water. Lush and kneading specifically is referring to mixing or to putting together two items specifically by using a binding agent. Classically, the way it's understood, certainly the way the malacha was done in the Mishkan, was binding and using water and putting water together as a binding agent and using that to put together flour, ultimately to make dough. So that's the malacha we'd like to discuss tonight. Although, the malacha, as it's referred to fundamentally, at least the deraisa malacha of it, and the malacha the way it was done in the Mishkan, was when it was the binding agent was water, and the item that was going to be made was a flour, was a dough, and the flour was the item that was being bind together with the water. The Gemara indicates the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch recognize that it's not specifically water, but any other liquid that is being used as a binding agent is also subject to the malacha of lush. So, take, for example, milk or oil that are also liquids, although they're not water, but if you're using milk to make a batter, or if you're using milk to mix into farina, let's say, or oil that's being used as a binding agent in a variety of different things, that also will be subject to the malacha of lush. So in order to be over the malach of lush, you have to have a agent, a binding agent, which is typically the liquid. A liquid is used in order to create the mass, and once that mass is created, the malacha of lush has been violated. Now, when we talk about the malacha of lush, typically there are two steps in the malacha. If we're dealing with a liquid as a binding agent, so as soon as you put the water together with the item that you want to mix, at some level there is something that is taking place immediately. As soon as you put the water with the flour, that moment there is a bit of paste that is created, and that's step one in the process. Step two in the process is ultimately mixing the batter or allowing the contents to become one mass, and that's really stage two in the process. So every malacha of lush, when it's being done on a deraisa level, on a Torah level, to be prohibited deraisa, there are two steps in the process. Anybody's ever baked or cooked or put together a liquid with a solid, first thing that's going to happen is there's going to become some sort of paste or a mass is going to become created, albeit that it's not taking over the entire composite of the contents or the ingredients that you're working with. Nonetheless, something has happened. That's step one of lush, and you're over immediately. But ultimately, the second step is the most critical step, because that is when the entire mixture is going to become a mass, and at that point, one has violated the malacha of lush. So let's go through the malacha and try to understand it a little better. When we deal with the malacha of lush, there are two types of masses that we are typically referring to. The first is something called a belila ava, and the second is called a belila raka. A belila ava is a thick batter, a thick paste, a thick mixture. A belila raka is a liquidy mixture. Now, belila ava is midiraisa, also to create a mass that is going to be thick, while a belila raka, a liquidy batter, is only going to be prohibited midrabbana. Now, what's the difference between a belila ava and a belila raka? It's simple to say them, but how do we differentiate or distinguish between something which is thick batter, which will be issur deraisa, and something which will be called a thinner batter, or a thinner mixture, a thinner aspect of kneading, which is going to be only asur midrabbana? Post can typically understand, there's a chazanish like this and others, Rishonim that seem to indicate, that seem to hint and indicate this as well, is that a belila ava, a thick paste or a thick mixture, is something that cannot be poured. So if you're creating a dough can't be poured. It's mixed, and once the water, which is used as the binding agent, or milk or oil like we discussed moments ago, it can't be poured and it can't move. And as a result, that's going to be an issur deraisa. We'll talk a little bit later about tuna salad and egg salad that you're making. Tuna and egg salad, both would be considered to be a belila ava, because once you use oil or vinegar or anything that you're using as your binding agent, we'll talk a little bit later about other types of agents that are going to be used outside of the realm of water and milk, But nonetheless, when you are creating that paste and that base and that mixture and that mass of tuna salad or egg salad, it can't be poured. And the same thing is true of the batter. And therefore, if you are to do that on Shabbos, and we'll get to the different parameters and permutations when it comes to tuna fish and egg salad, that will fundamentally, at this point, be something that is asur midirais. A little rak, on the other hand, is something that's pourable. You can mix something together, and ultimately it will, even with the mixture, even the water or the milk that's being used to bind whatever the item is, nonetheless it can still be poured. Take, for example, a thin farina or a hot cereal that you're making. So many of those are pourable. You can put them in a cup and you can drink them, or if it spills, it's going to get all over the place. That would be referred to as a belila raka, and those will be asur midrabana. Now, once we know what's asur, at least on a deraisa level, on the rabbana level, it's important to point out that there are certain things that one may think are mixtures, but indeed they're not. Take, for example, cereal milk. So cereal milk is definitely a mixture. It's so much so a mixture because when it comes to the world of brachos, we only make one bracha on cereal because it's a shayla of ikar v'tafel. One is primary and the second is, item is secondary. The cereal is primary and the milk is secondary. So there is on some level a mixture there. However, the reason why you don't call that a isra of lush, why it's not prohibited to have cereal and milk on Shabbos, is because each of them are independent. They're not becoming a solid mass, not pourable, and not even not pourable. If you're to spill out your milk, it's still going to be obvious that there's milk and that there's cereal. The Cheerios are going to be noticeable, the cornflakes are going to be noticeable, the Rice Krispies are going to be noticeable. So that's not subject altogether to the mlach of lush. Furthermore, if you take, let's say, a vegetable salad, you want to toss the vegetable salad, mix the vegetable salad with oil. And again, oil is classically understood as a binding agent. Again, that's not subject to lush, to the mlach of lisha, of binding and kneading, because the tomatoes are independent, the lettuce is independent, the cucumber is independent, the avocado is independent. Each vegetable can be seen in and of itself. If you want to make a guacamole forever, and there it's going to become one solid mass, that will be a problem. But a standard vegetable salad mixed with oil is going to be not subject to the melacha at all. Another example of things that are completely mutter will be something that's a totally liquidy mixture. Although it does become one item, nonetheless, it still will be mutter. Take, for example, a hot chocolate milk. You take your hot chocolate mix, that is a mixture, it's a powder, and you put it into your hot water. Now, originally you had hot water and you had a chocolatey mix. So now they're one mass. So maybe you could call that a belila raka, and it'll be awesome with Rabbanan. However, the post can note that anything that becomes a liquid, completely liquefied, where you can't even recognize that there once was another item, it's going to be completely mutter, as opposed to a farina or a hot cereal where there are two items there that were put together and just it's a liquidy or a more pourable mixture. When it comes to a mix, the like of hot chocolate milks, where you had a powder or a dust that was put into water and it totally becomes overwhelmed and it's completely water, as if there was never a mixture altogether, that would be completely permitted. Similarly, chocolate syrup that you put into your milk, again, is very similar to your hot chocolate mix. The chocolate mix is a powder. The chocolate milk is a syrup. If you put the syrup into milk and you mix it on Shabbos, it's also absolutely permitted because it's a completely fluid mixture. A completely fluid mixture is going to be permitted as opposed to a pourable mixture, which is going to be asur midrabanan, as opposed to a solid mass, a belila ava, which is going to be asur midiraisa. So that's your tuna fish, your egg salad, and your maybe your thick, very thick farina. And the things that are not subject whatsoever, as we mentioned, are cereal and milk, vegetable salad mixed with oil, those are all going to be not subject. So at this point, we have really three categories of lush. You have things that are not subject at all because they are separate entities, cereal and milk, vegetable salad with your oil. You have things that are also permitted not because they are independent, but because they're totally liquid. The hot chocolate milks and the hot chocolate milk with syrup, those are totally permitted because they become complete liquid. You have something that's asur midrabanan, and those are the pourable mixes and mixtures that you make, like your farina that can be poured out from one cup to another. And then you have the most powerful or potent prohibition on Shabbos, and that's the issur d'oraisa, the belila ava, that's making your non-pourable mixtures, and those are going to be prohibited as soon as you put a liquid binding agent with the mixture and it becomes a foul mass, like your tuna fish and egg salad, those are going to be prohibited. So that's the background to the different levels of deraisa, derabanan, and things that are mutter. The definition, again, of lash is binding together small particles with a binding agent. And let's now discuss when it would be permitted and if there's a way to actually allow one to make your tuna fish and your egg salad on Shabbos, and you prefer not to do it on Erev Shabbos. Now, there is a big chiddush when it comes to malacha of lash that we really don't see by any other malacha, almost not by any other malacha, and that's that a shinoi is permitted. If you do something different, if you create a change in the way you bind together the particles with the bonding agent, there are times that it's going to be mutter. Now note, the lamatas malachas that we deal with when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos are also midiraisa. Now there are times that if a person does it in an awkward fashion, in a way where you do it in a if you have ulterior motives, or if you do it in the ordinary way, if two people do the malacha, or if you don't have intent to do the malacha, a variety of ways where you're not doing it the way it's intended to be, so it drops down to an issur d'rabbanan from an issur d'oraisa. However, when it comes to lash, the Gemara says that if you do it in an awkward way, if you do it in an awkward fashion, in a different fashion, it's altogether mutter. Now, one other example that you have of doing something in a different fashion that will be permitted to do on Shabbos, if you cook something in the sun, mevashel b'chama, that's mutter. If you want to take an egg and put it in the sun, you can do that. If you want to take a raw piece of chicken and put it outside on your roof on a 110-degree summer day in Dallas, Texas, and you put it on there for 5 hours, 6 hours, and you have a hot piece of cooked chicken, that's permitted because bishul b'chama is mutter. It tastes different when you cook it in the sun. It's a completely different malacha altogether. Now, that's rare when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, and another anomaly when it comes to malachos is this malacha of lash, that if you do it in a different fashion, in a shinui dik way, it is permitted. However, not all shinuis or doing something differently the way me and you think is different is necessarily permitted. You have to do the shinuim that the Gemara refers to. The Gemara, this is Paskim Shulchan Aruch, that there are two steps in the shinui process to permit you to allow you to do Lashon Shabbos. The first, as we mentioned, is anytime you put a binding agent, a liquid, with a solid, at that moment, automatically, it's going to become a paste, or it's going to become a mass. That's step one. Step two is once you mix it together, you've also created a mass with your own hands, with your fork, your knife, or whatever piece of cutlery that you choose to use to create this mass. So therefore, the halacha is, and the Shulchan Aruch explains that if you change each of those two steps in the way you would do lash ordinarily, it will be permitted. For example, if ordinarily you have a make a farina, a hot cereal, and you put in the contents, the solid, dry contents into the bowl first, and then you pour the water. So the moment you pour the water in, there's going to be a paste or a bit of a mixture and a mat that's going to be created. Therefore, la halacha, we say change the order. As opposed to putting in the hot cereal and then adding water, first put the hot water in and then add the farina. So you've changed and done something completely different than you do during the week. And in an abnormal fashion, step one, you have changed. Step two would be if you ordinarily mix with a fork or with a knife or whatever choice of cutlery that you use, so you should change the methodology by the way that you do so. So that could be using it in a crisscross fashion. One of the talks about shasi v'aret. If you do it in a crisscross fashion, that's not the way ordinarily one mixes. You typically take your spoon and you quickly mix it around, right to the left and all around. So if you do it in an awkward fashion, that's permitted. If you maybe use the back of a spoon or an awkward way, or if you use your hands even, those three ways would be considered to be changing the method. And if you're to change the two steps of the ordinary functioning of lash by first putting in the water and then putting in the salad and then mixing it in an abnormal fashion, that would be okay. Now, if a person does not know what the ordinary way is, the order which is reversed, which sometimes people do it in a different fashion, so one should do whatever the standard way that human beings do it, you should do it the opposite way. If you still don't know, some posts can suggest you take a look at the box that you're using, and whatever way they tell you to do it, you should do it in the opposite way, and that's considered reversing the order. However, the Shulchan Aruch does point in the posting notes that these two steps in changing the methodology and the shinuyim of lush only works when it comes to a liquid mixture. So the examples that I just gave you when it comes to a hot, pourable liquid farina or cereal, so what you would do if you want to have a hot cereal on Shabbos is first you put in the water and then the mixture, and then you mix it in an abnormal fashion. But that's only if you have a liquid paste, a blila raka. But when it comes to a blila ava, which is asur midiraisa, it doesn't seem that this will work all together. So when it comes to Shabbos and the shinui, and the two-step shinui process is only going to work when it comes to the issur d'rabbanan of lush, when it comes to the midrabbanan, the rabbinic prohibition, the rabbinic injunction of a pourable item, when you start working with a pourable item, we're nervous that you're going to start working and doing lush and needing a solid base, so therefore rabbanan asur even using a blila raka. So too, they also permitted at the same time to do it in a shinui fashion, to change the order and to change the methodology by the way that you mix. However, those two heterim and the shinui process only is going to work when it comes to a liquid mixture and not when it comes to a solid mass. So how are we going to deal with our tuna fish and how are we going to work with our egg salad? As we indicated at the beginning of this year, those are both asur midiraisa. They're considered to be a blila ava. So if we stop now, one would get the impression that making tuna fish and making tuna egg salad on Shabbos should be prohibited based on the fact that it's an issur d'oraisa, and the shinuyim that we just referred to only work when it comes to a liquid paste as opposed to a solid paste. Here, we get to tuna fish, and then we'll talk about egg salad. Now, tuna fish, the way classically you make it, and the binding agent that's used, is mayonnaise. Now, mayonnaise is not similar to water, it's not similar to milk, and it's not similar to oil. It's not a liquid mixture, it's a coagulant of sorts, but certainly it's not a liquid. Therefore, when you place the mayonnaise into the tuna fish, nothing happens. Your mayonnaise sits on the tuna fish, and your tuna fish is still tuna fish. The only time that there's a change in the creation of the tuna fish is once you actually mix it. That changes the entire composite and the entire focus of the tuna fish altogether, because when it came to the issur of lush, we described at the outset of this evening's shiur, is that it's a two-step process. As soon as you put the liquid agent as the binding agent with the solid, it then automatically creates a paste or a mix, and then step two is that you actually mix it together. But when it comes to tuna fish, when you're using something like mayonnaise or any other coagulant that does not bond or does not bind the item together until you mix it, it's no longer a classic issur d'oraisa because nothing is happening the moment that the two come together. It's only once you mix it. Therefore, the post can note in that circumstance, when you're working with a coagulant and you're not working with oil, water, or milk that are liquids, the only thing that you would have to do in that circumstance would be step two, shinui, which would be to change the way in which you mix the tuna fish. So if ordinarily you take your tuna fish and you mix it with a spoon or with a fork, so the way to do it would again be in a crisscross fashion and a shafti the ari fashion. However, what you cannot do is to use the back of a spoon, the back of a knife, or the back of a fork. Kata the sakina, which is considered to be the opposite form, only works again, as we mentioned, when it comes to a blila raka, when it comes to a liquid mass, but not when it comes to tuna fish, which is more of a solid mass. So if you want to make tuna fish and salad, the way to do it would be simply by changing the order, the mechanism, the function you're mixing, and as a result, if you do it in that fashion, it would be permitted. Certainly, its best case would be to do it before Shabbos, but in a situation where it was not done, there is a way to make tuna, and that's because it's working with a coagulant the likes of mayonnaise. If you're using water, milk, or oil, you're back to step one. It's an issur d'oraisa, and you would be prohibited to make it, and that brings us to egg salad. Now, when it comes to making egg salad, you're not using mayonnaise. You're typically using oil to make your egg salad. And once you're talking about oil, oil falls back into the category of a liquid, like milk and like water, and that is going to be a real issur d'oraisa, and that's a serious problem when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. Making egg salad on Shabbos using oil as a binding agent will be a real problem. Now, the postmen do comment that in cases of necessity, one then would still be permitted to make your egg salad and do so again the way you would use your tuna salad by doing it in the opposite order. and changing the direction. So you'd have to implement both shinuim. If typically you put your eggs in and then you add your salt and your oil and whatever other ingredients you use, you would do it in the opposite way. You first put in some oil, then you'd put in your salt, and at the end you put the eggs, and then you change the direction and the mechanism and the order as well as the methodology of making it. You can't use the back of the backhand of a spoon, the backhand of a fork, the backhand of a knife, because that's only permitted when it comes to blula raka, a liquidy batter. But when it comes to this, it would be a problem. Now, what do you call a case of necessity? So maybe it would be a child. The only thing he or she eats is egg salad. Hard to imagine that children are eating egg salad, but maybe that's an example. Maybe guests came over there unexpectedly, and you need to put something up, and egg salad is the only thing you have. That could be a situation of permission. But there are, and there have been posthum, and there are many sects of Jews who like to eat eggs for Shalosh Shudas. Chassidim enjoy having egg salad for Shalosh Shudas, and there have been many tshuvas written trying to explain the propriety of how they do such things. But there is a method, as we described, if you implement the two shinuim in a case of necessity, that it would be permitted, although fundamentally it does seem, based on our analysis, that it would be a problem in midiraisa, so one should be cautious. So just to review, we discussed tonight the melacha lush, that means binding together small particles of food, a solid, with a binding agent like water, milk, and oil. Anytime you're making a thick paste, that's going to be asur midiraisa. That's what we call a blila abba. The definition we mentioned is something that's not pourable, like your tuna fish, your egg salad, your batter, your dough. A blila raka is asur midirabanan. That is defined as something that's pourable, a mixture that's poured and that can be poured is only the asur midirabanan. We mentioned things that are not subject to lisha bichlal, cereal and milk, vegetable salad with oil. Mixing it, that's not binding. You're both recognizable, and therefore that's permitted. Something that's completely a fluid mixture, i.e. high chocolate milk mix or chocolate milk syrup, those are absolutely permitted. We did mention that even when it comes to blila raka, which is asur midirabanan, the Rabbanan also found a heter to do such a thing on Shabbos, and that's by two-step shinui, number one, reversing the order, and number two, changing the method by way of doing so. So if it's ordinarily customary to first put in the solid and then put in the liquid as the binding agent, once you first put in the liquid and then add the solid and then mix it in an abnormal fashion, we said a crisscross method would be permitted. And again, that's only when it comes to a liquid mixture. When it comes to a solid mixture, there is no heter, there's no way out. We did mention when it comes to tuna, there's permissibility because you're not dealing with a liquid agent, you're dealing with a coagulant like mayonnaise, and there, as long as you change the order, it's okay. As opposed to egg salad, we're using an oil, which is not a coagulant, but it's rather a liquid. Fundamentally, it's a problem. However, in case it's a necessity, as long as you do it in the opposite order and you change the direction by way of which you're making the egg salad, that would be permitted. And that brings us to a close this evening for the Melach of Lush. Please feel free to contact me and to be in touch if I could be of any help and further questions that you may have. Have a wonderful evening.